Your name, Lord. Thank you for the home we have. You said you prepared for us. You're preparing. Wow. If you're a carpenter and you're still preparing, it must be an amazing thing, Lord. And so we look forward to it. And Lord, we pray you'd help us to have this perspective about this life and the life that's to come, Father, so we can be heavenly minded. We can set our affection on things above. And we can truly run this race correctly, Lord, pleasing you, Father. Help us, Lord. We look to you, Father. I pray you give me strength and grace in Jesus' name. Well, the title of my message this morning is How to Overcome Discouragement. To be discouraged means to lose your courage. You know, when we focus on our circumstances more than we focus on God, we can become discouraged. Amen? Has anybody experienced discouragement here? I have. Yeah, I think we all have. It's a temptation that's common to man, the Bible says. Our temptations are common. Even Jesus faced temptation to be discouraged, but he overcame. Let's see what God has to say to Joshua, the son of Nun, about having courage to not be discouraged. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, Joshua the son of Nun, chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now remember that Moses didn't get to go over because he didn't obey the Lord. And that one thing, you know, Moses was faithful in all his house, the Bible says in Hebrews. He was faithful in all of his house, but he didn't get to go over because of that one mess up, that one sin. And it was so important to God that he keep this type of Christ, that rock would only be smitten once, that the law, which is a picture of Moses, or Moses is a picture of the law, that law could not lead them into the promised land. There's no mercy in the law. The soul that sins, it shall die. And so Moses, even though Moses was the servant of God, and God says, Moses was my servant, he's dead now. He wasn't able to lead them to the promised land. So the law cannot lead us to the promised land. But Yeshua, Joshua can. Hallelujah. My servant Moses is dead. You know, we did think, oh, because Moses messed up and he sinned, that now, I mean, there's no hope for him. But what do we see in the New Testament? We see when Jesus was on the Mount, who appeared to him? Moses and Elijah. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is good. God is merciful. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, this is the second time that they're going to, that they're at the Jordan, as it were, and are about, and would have entered in the first time, but they didn't because of unbelief. And now, all those people that were 20 years and older, they died in the wilderness after 40 years. Now we have a new generation coming up, and Moses and Joshua is going to lead them in, according to the command of God. Verse 3. Well, verse 2, he's given it to them. Land. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. God's word stands. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. What a promise. There shall not be any man that shall be able to stand before you all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Hallelujah. What words of comfort. These are words of life. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. You know, in the beginning, God said, it's good when he made the world. And then he kept going and said, it's very good. And here, God is saying, be courageous. Be of good courage. And then he says, be very courageous. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. How are you going to prosper? By taking heed according to God's word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What another, he just keeps reiterating and keeps saying it over and over again. I'm going to be with you. Hallelujah. And here it is in verse 9 that God gives Joshua a commandment. Now, I've said before that when God gives a commandment, he also gives the ability to obey it, right? How that would be a cruel thing to do is tell a child, lift that stone. And if you don't lift that stone, there's going to be a great punishment. And that stone weighs 50,000 pounds or whatever. It weighs 100 pounds for a three-year-old. It's just not right to do that. You lift that stone or else you're going to get in trouble. But God doesn't do that to us. He gives us a command, a blessed command, of being courageous, of having courage. And then he gives us the ability to be that. And where does it come from? And the Bible says our strength, what? Cometh of the Lord. Right? Cometh from the Lord. Have not I commanded thee? So as I mentioned in the beginning, to be discouraged and how to overcome discouragement, we have to recognize that God wants us to be courageous. He wants us to have courage. He wants us to have faith in him, to trust him for all of his promises. The Bible says all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. Amen? And so, what is it that causes us to become discouraged? One of the most effective tools that the devil has is to bring discouragement. God warns us not to be ignorant of his devices. Amen? 2 Corinthians 2:6. Starting there, we're going to reach over verse 11. So, this is the context here. Paul is talking to the Corinthians. It's his second letter. There was a man that was sinning greatly, and he was supposed to be separated from the brethren, and he was supposed to be rebuked, and then it seems as though he repented. And so the Apostle Paul starts out here, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrarywise you ought rather to forgive him and to comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So the Apostle Paul is telling us that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, and he's explaining that if a person feels hopeless, then they could become overcome, swallowed up even, with much sorrow. So should we have sorrow for sin? Of course we should. But at the end, there should be hope. Right? Godly repentance is not to be repented of. Right? Let's see how David faced discouraging situations and how he overcame. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. I don't think any of us have ever been in a situation like this. But here we have David and his men were coming back from a battle, or they were sent away from a battle here. And when they came back, because all the men had left, they came back and there's just men, women and children at their city. And all the men had left. And so now they're coming back and they're expecting to come home. What would happen if you came home and you saw the front door like literally on the ground? And it's on, and the place is on fire, and you see like clothes outside the door, and everything is just ransacked, and you're yelling like, "Hey, honey, where are you?" And the children are nowhere to be seen, and then, wow, what would go through your heart? Well, this is what happened here. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, that's the city, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Wow, what a blessing. Now, it doesn't always turn out that everything is restored if a calamity happens or whatever like that. But in this case, it was. But the people were so distressed. Do you think they didn't love David? But here they were so distressed, they spake of stoning him. Amazing. And David, was a picture of Christ. They spake of stoning Jesus. They tried to. But where did David go? Where did David go when he was discouraged? Where did David go when he needed to encourage himself in the Lord his God? So the question is to us is to who or what do we go when we face the trials of life and the temptation to be discouraged? Where do we go? Like what do we run to first of all? That's the question. It's a revealing question. Some people go to food. Some people go to amusement. You know, back in the days of the kings, they had court jesters. And now everybody's a king. We have comedians on TV, movies. Some go to drink and drugs. And the list keeps going on and on and on. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's the world. But the Bible says that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24, the end of that verse says, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. David encouraged himself in the Lord. What did that look like? David knew the Lord. David knew the goodness of the Lord. David knew God intimately. He was a man after God's own heart, after all. In Psalm chapter 3, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 3, it's about when David fled from Absalom, his son. How much lower can you get there? I mean, when your own son wants you dead. Oh, that's a terrible thing. Can you imagine? Yeah, a stranger, you know, you can bear that. I mean, lots of people want you, strangers want you dead, probably. But your own son, can you imagine? He wants you dead. So in Psalm 3, verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Selah. So that Selah is meant to, is a pause there. And it's meant to say, think about that. Pause there. So a lot of people are saying there's no help for him in God. That's the devil. That's the devil, either like he appeared to Jesus, like face to face right there, or that can be people whom the devil uses when he speaks through people. You know, the devil even spoke through Peter at one point. They say, there's no help for him in God. There's no hope. That's discouraging if you believe it. Now, here we have David. David's faith says, but thou. But, you know, when you hear somebody say, I love you, but... You're going to contradict everything you just said before, right? But thou, there's no help for him in God, but thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. A shield. I can stand behind this thing and people can shoot arrows at me and it doesn't do, I mean, I'm safe. But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. My glory and the lifter up of mine head. You know, when you're down, you need somebody to lift your head up. Why art thou downcast, O my soul? Your head is down, you're stooped. Sorrow makes the heart stoop, the Bible says. But God lifts our head up. He's my glory. He's my shield. He's the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And not only did I cry, it says, and he heard me out of his holy hill. We have that confidence. It says that if we know that we have this confidence that he hears us. We have this confidence that he hears us. He heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. Think about that, Selah. I laid me down and slept. You know, you don't lay down and sleep if you're terrified. But he was trusting God. He trusted that God heard him. And was going to keep him. I laid me down and slept. Do you lay down and sleep if you know there's a wolf out right outside your tent or a bear that can come crashing through? No. But he had his trust was in the Lord. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Think about that. How did David encourage himself in the Lord? He remembered the goodness of the Lord. He remembered the faithfulness of God. He remembered that God was his shield. That God was his portion. That God was his salvation. that God was faithful. He cannot deny himself. He's always faithful. I think if we see discouragement as a temptation, then that will help us overcome it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape it, that ye may be able to bear it." Do we believe that? Do we really believe that with every temptation, that there is a God, because he doesn't want us to fall into that temptation, is making a way to escape that temptation? When we believe that, that's true. It's true, God said it. And when we believe that truth, then that's when we get the victory. The Bible says, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." It's our faith that does that. Our faith in a God that cannot lie. It says, "I have made a way of escape for you. Just take it. Take the way. Take that way of escape." David believed these things. David said, "By my God, I can leap over a wall. By my God, I can run through a troop." That's battle talk. That's talk of war. This is a battle we're in. And we have the victory by faith. This is a battle we can win. Amen? The Apostle Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Okay, that sounds really good. But what if we have sinned? What if we've given into temptation? Is there any hope for us? Yes, there is. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not." That's the whole desire of God, that we never sin again. Do you believe that? We talk to people all the time that say, "You can't stop sinning. You can't but sin." That's who you are. No, we're not sinners. We're saints. Brothers and sisters, we are saints. Holy brethren, the Bible calls us. The Bible says, "If any man sin..." My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Amen. Remember Peter here. I'm going to close with some of Peter's words here. Peter denied the Lord. After walking with him for 3 years, he cursed and swore and said, "I don't know the man. I don't know him." 2 Peter 3:11. This is who wrote this. Peter, right? 2 Peter 3:11 says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved," he's talking about the earth is going to be dissolved, "what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things," okay, because of this, what does he say? "Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Sounds like, "I write these things unto you that you sin not," doesn't it? "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation." You know, Jesus hasn't come back yet. It's been 2,000 years, but it's because God wants everyone to be saved. "Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Our beloved brother Paul. That's a blessing right there, isn't it? When we're talking about blessings this morning, using our tongue. Here, Apostle Peter is saying, "Our beloved brother Paul." That's a term of endearment. Isn't that? It's a blessing. When someone will call you, "I love you so much. My beloved." That's what it means. The one that I love. Beloved brother Paul. "Also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And here's where I want to bring it home. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So Peter is telling us we need to grow in grace. We can grow. We don't enter the Christian life fully mature, but we need to grow. And so let's do that. Let's help each other in this. Let's be a blessing in each other's lives and help each other grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that to him will be glory both now and forever when we all stand around God's throne and cast our crowns before him and praise him and worship him in a place that we've never seen, but we're told he's preparing for us. That's so amazing that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him, it says. Those that love him. And my last scripture is Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound with hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. God bless you all.